Good morning. It's Saturday, the 17th of 2016, and this is The Beacon. Good morning. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Do you like my formal opening?
That was very formal.
That's right.
You know what? I find it still funny that when you call me and leave voice messages, you still tell me your whole name and leave your phone number that I've had for 8 years.
No, I've had changes in between time.
Come on. But you did have, like, for the first 5 years, you had the same number, and you still left me the phone number every time you left me a voice message.
I always leave it.
It's so funny.
Because I can't stand it when people don't, because they assume you have a phone that you could see the number on.
That's true.
And I can't see the number
on it. That's true.
So then they wonder why I didn't call them back, and I go, well, I leave the number.
Right. That's a good point, because a lot of people now just assume it pops up on caller ID and don't leave the phone number, or say, you can just call me back on the number I called from, and if you don't
can't see
it. And then
they go, number?
Yeah, no, I get it. You know what? I have fresh perspective now. But rest assured, I have all of your phone numbers in my phone, and we'll always call you back.
You can get rid of those, except the last two.
I think I've cleaned out your...
You know what?
What?
I have a friend of mine, Ann, and she's got a book. She still has the book with the numbers.
All right.
She says, you have your own page. She says, and it about 10 pounds of whiteout on that page. Your numbers.
So. Well, you know, and it's so funny because now with cell phones, people don't really change their phone number anymore.
No.
You know, I had my California number with me for years and I only changed it when I was trying to get my own like sign language business up and running. And that was when I felt like I should have a local number.
Right.
So I've had just two numbers like in the last 15 years. But you, wherever you go, you change it to local.
Exactly. You know, I got to tell you, my mom.
Yeah.
We were trying to figure out the, because my mom has finally consented into going into a retirement community.
Yes.
So she has had the same telephone number since 1969.
Oh my gosh.
Same telephone number.
I find that inspiring.
And the one before that she had for about 3 years. But then when I started in radio, somebody was being smart. And they were calling me just as I would fall asleep.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I worked evenings.
Really?
And I'd come home late. Yeah.
Like, intentionally?
I must have been, you know.
That's so tacky.
And I'd have to get up out of bed, go answer the phone, and that.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Because at that time, we didn't have any sort of answering machines or voicemails.
I beg your pardon.
No, I mean, I'm saying, like, even when I was a child, we had an answering machine. We didn't have caller ID.
That's true.
We didn't
answering have, machine.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, my folks knew Alexander Graham Bell, so they didn't even have that for Pete's sake. I'm telling you. So what's on our agenda today?
Well, today we're talking to our associate producer, Sandy Murillo, who is going to be, we're going to be talking to her with Brett Shishkoff, who is our intern as well. And they're going to be talking about sailing lessons for the visually impaired and totally blind and getting out on Lake Michigan and feeling the wind in the mist on their faces.
I wish I had that song, Sailing, by Christopher Cross.
Don't you think Brian could find it?
I'm sure he can.
I'm sure he can.
He's the man who knows everything.
He is.
Yeah, that's right.
Ask him.
And then?
Then we're going to be talking to Bill Bogdan from the Secretary of State's office, who will be explaining the different disability placards and who qualifies for each specific one.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
That's it. And what you need to have for it and everything. And then we have you.
Mwah.
Do you have a fall recipe?
I do.
Okay,
I'm quite excited about it.
Good.
I've been making this one at home, and my kids love it.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes, it's breakfast. It's a breakfast recipe.
Ah.
Yeah.
I'm so sick and tired of food.
What?
I am sick and tired of a majority of food out there.
What? Like what?
It's not the quality it used to be.
I know, honey. I know. I agree.
Oh, it's
everything
terrible.
Is processed, and you know, and I mean, I come on here and I'm a huge advocate for whole, real food.
Right.
But you know what? I buy the frozen, like organic, but they're still frozen, and that's usually what I eat most nights.
You know what? Let me tell you. There were certain sandwiches when I was growing up that I used to like.
Mm-hmm.
About the only safe one left is a grilled cheese sandwich and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
So true.
Otherwise, forget it.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
It's just garbage.
And lunch meats are so processed now that,
the worst.
There's, right, and there's actually like cancer warnings on them. Like the nitrates that cured lunch meats are made with cause cancer.
I used to like, and I still do, boiled ham.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find it anywhere.
But like even at a Polish bakery or Polish deli?
No, they always have Krakus, and I like it. I like it made by the worst companies. The low-grade, like Hormel or Arm
right.
or something like
Purdue,
that.
Purdue, yeah.
And, you know, I would love, because it's pink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and first of all, you know, well, it's boiled, so
right.
it's probably pink. But it used to be so good.
Yeah.
Now I bought some the other day. So salty, it's unbelievable.
Ugh, gosh.
Unbelievable.
It's really tragic.
Well, we'll get into food more. And then
And then we'll be talking to our boys, Brian and Tom. They're going to be talking about the latest in handheld magnifiers and also the upcoming road shows.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we'll get things underway. We'll go sailing on Lake Michigan.
Oh, God, that sounds lovely.
It
really does.
The name of the show is The Beacon. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And we'll be back to board ship.
Every day, PACE is helping more and more people with disabilities take control of their day.
My friends change plans a lot, which was tough because my rides had to be booked a day before. One day, I figured out how easy it was to put my wheelchair onto regular PACE buses. Since then, I haven't missed out on any pickup games. Yesterday, I had 10 rebounds.
Freedom means being able to go wherever I want, when I want. Before, things like missing an ingredient for a recipe or other unexpected errands were a real pain to figure out. Once I learned my service dog Nola was welcome aboard PACE Fix routes, we've been riding ever since.
Hi, I'm Bridget Brown. If you're anything like me, it drives you nuts when you feel like you're missing out on things. Now I make plans in the middle of the day without even thinking twice about it, thanks to the PACE Bus.
When you're ready to take control of your day, visit PACEBus.com or call 847-364-PACE. PACE, connecting communities.
Well, I am Brett Shishkoff, and this is with me today, once again, is Sandy. Why don't you say hello to everybody there, Sandy?
Hey, everyone.
We actually are following up our last show when we were both on from Access Chicago and Xanadu with the Judd Goldman Sailing Center. Sandy just had a recent experience with Judd Goldman, and I had an experience with it quite a bit last year. I took 10 lessons myself, and so we're going to kind of go over what that consists of. Sandy, so how was the sailing this past weekend?
Well, so first for people that haven't heard about the Judd Goldman Sailing Foundation, this is a foundation. It's through the Chicago Park District, and it provides sailing lessons to people with all types of physical disabilities and vision impairments. And, you know, the trainer, the instructors, you know, they know how to work with people with disabilities. They have special equipment for those that have mobility impairments, you know, so that they can maneuver through the boat and use the different sailing equipment. So I'd heard about the Judd Goldman. I'd heard about it several years ago, and for one reason or another, I wasn't able to sign up, unfortunately. But speaking here with Brett, he mentioned it, and you know, it's something that I've always been wanting to give it a try. I am a huge outdoors person. I'm a huge water person. Love
mm-hmm.
swimming.
Yep.
But I called. Filled out the necessary paperwork. You have to go, you know, just through a very simple process. I mean, you just apply, give them your information, sign the waiver. And it wasn't until this Saturday that I was able to sit in one of the lessons. This was my first lesson. And, I mean, it was a cloudy day. You mm-hmm. know, it was a little windy out in Lake Michigan, but it was nice. You know, the weather was, it was hot out there. It was like in the lower 80s, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so first of all, what I really liked is that they, you know, went through the layout of the boat, the different parts of the boats. They described, you know, before I even, you know, and this was when I first went to fill out the paperwork. You know, they walked me through the boats and took me on a tour. But so Saturday, you know, I got to sit in and enjoy the breeze and the fresh water smell mm-hmm. of Lake Michigan. So I think it was a nice experience, and I'm sure that you can talk more, but since you have taken the entire course,
yep.
mm-hmm. talk a little bit about.
Yeah, last year, so I ended up having 10 lessons. And it's nice because they kind of work with your budget and what you're actually, what you have available. And so, because it's through scholarships and grants and whatnot that they get their funding. And so, it's quite nice. I went with a few different instructors. So each instructor is a little bit different in what they explain and the background that they give you. And so, you know, if you want to steer the boat, you can steer it no matter if you're blind or not. There's somebody to point you in the right direction. So if you want to be the captain of the ship, per se, you have the opportunity to do so. If you're a person who wants to learn how to control the sails, you can do that as well. You'd be closer to the front of the boat or the bow, if we're using nautical terms, and they teach you all of that stuff as well. And so I wanted to get my hands on a little bit of everything when I went. And so they were very good and very patient. And it's a real fun experience just because sailing isn't something that everybody gets to do. And so to have this type of program, most people think it's very, very expensive to do sailing, which in most cases it is. But in the case of the Judd Goldman Sailing Foundation, they've been great on being able to accommodate people with disabilities and giving us the opportunity to get out on the water. One of my favorite parts last year was one of the instructors. She took me after we were done on the boat, and she brought out an actual model of the sailboat and basically was able to go over every single part of the boat. And then when the sails are pointed, you know, if they're all the way out, what your boat's supposed to do and where the wind is coming from. And so she gave me a very, very in-depth, detailed description of how the boat reacts to certain types of wind and how you need to react as a sailor to be able to get the most out of the boat. And so if you want to be a person who just sits around on the boat and lets them do most of the work, you can do that. But if you wanted to be like a crewman type thing and you wanted to learn every inch of how that sailboat works, you can also learn that as well. And they really encourage you to participate in the sail and not just sit around. But if that's what you feel comfortable doing, is just staying in a boat and just getting your sea legs underneath you, then that's fine too.
And what I really liked about it too is that, you know, before you actually, you know, if you want to sign up for the six lessons or however mm-hmm. many lessons, you can actually take, you know, like a trial lesson, a free lesson mm-hmm. at the beginning, you know, to see if you like it, to see if it's something that you might consider. I unfortunately, you know, it's almost the end of the season, mm-hmm. You know, I really enjoyed it. I definitely think that I'll sign up for the entire six lessons at least next year. And mm-hmm. I think something that I also liked about is the camaraderie, you know, between people with disabilities. You mm-hmm. know, we have people with all types of disabilities. You know, there are passengers who are blind, passengers with physical disabilities. So just even that social aspect, mm-hmm. you know, of getting to know more people and, you know, sharing, you know, similarities. And, you know, I think it's a nice experience overall.
Yeah, what I was impressed with was one of their students became one of their instructors, and this instructor actually is in a wheelchair, mm-hmm. and so they help him every single time he has a lesson. He gets help onto the boat, and so anyone who needs that type of assistance, if you have some mobility issues, they're able to help you get onto the boat safely, like Sandy did say earlier. So doesn't matter what your disability is, they try as hard as they possibly can to make sure that you're able to do these lessons and enjoy yourself. And the people there are great. The instructors, the volunteers, they're all really, really awesome people. And I've had such great conversations with them. And whenever I went back, they remembered me because I was there quite often. And I believe their schedule, they have Monday and Tuesday off, and then they go through Wednesday through Sunday. And so that's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do it on the weekends if that's all you have available, or you can do it during the week. And they have two times. It's 9 a.m.
To
and,
noon.
To noon. And then they have, was it 1?
1 to 3:30,
yep.
I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you have two options if you can do the morning or afternoon. There's quite a bit of flexibility with that schedule. And, some days are a little bit easier to sail. You got those choppy, windy days that are actually the most fun for me, at least. Your boat's just flying. You're getting able to get some water sprayed in the face. It wakes you up. And then you
I got to experience the boat tilting a little bit. So
yep.
That's...
Mm-hmm.
I think that was my initiation,
yeah,
if you will. No, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fun experience overall.
Yeah, one of the instructors, when the boat started to tilt the first time, I kind of asked him, I was like, is this supposed to do that? And he goes, that means you're doing your job right. If it's tilting, the more you're tilting, the better you are. And the faster you're going on the water. And I was like, oh, well, that's different experience.
Right.
And so, and then you also have to shift your weight a little bit to adjust to that.
Exactly.
And so some people move from one side to the other. So they teach you all of that. And that's what's kind of really, really fun about it is they go over a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and for people that are interested, they do have a website. And it's Judd, J-U-D-D, Goldman, G-O-L-D-M-A-N, Sailing, sailing.org. And you can also call them. Their number is 312-644-3200. And, they're people, like I said, the season is almost over for this year. But they do hold an open house in April, for people that are interested in participating, would like to get more information. That's April of this next year, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, if you are into sailing or just want to try something new or just, have fun out in the lake and you have a disability, feel free to check it out. And they also have a few YouTube videos where you can see the different program, the accommodations. So, feel free to check it out.
All right. Thank you, Sandy. This is Brett Shishkoff, and that it was Sandy Murillo joining me today. And we look forward to the next segment where we pretty much cover anything accessible for the city that we hopefully can encourage all of you to get out there and enjoy what Chicago has to offer.
All right, thank you, Brett, and have a great day, everyone.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. If your question is, how can someone who is blind enjoy the latest magazine writing and not have to pay a penny? Then the answer is Choice Magazine Listening. Every other month, we'll send you hours of stimulating, unabridged articles, short stories, and poetry from writers such as Russell Baker, Derek Walcott, Joyce Carol Oates, Bill Moyers, and Margaret Atwood. These free special speed cassettes are sent to anyone unable to read because of physical limitations. If you're interested, write today to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the necessary free Library of Congress talking book player. So write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Or call 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. Thank you.
Somehow, Lainey, when it gets below about 85 degrees, I cannot fathom being out on Lake Michigan with the wind blowing. Because it's cold.
Yeah, I could 85 is about right. I mean, I could probably go down to 80. Could be okay at 80. But yeah, beyond that, in the water, especially when the water's so cold, you want to be able to, at least have some heat on your bod once you're out of the water.
And knowing me...
Well, you're sitting in a winter jacket right now.
No, spring.
Fall. Excuse me.
But it's what you call it? Well, it's so doggone cold and you can freeze meat. But anyway, I'd be standing there, I'd get hit by that thing on the bottom of the sail. Boom, right into the water. And I don't swim, so they say, forget him.
Just leave him. He'll be fine.
Did you ever see the parking spaces in the lots?
Yeah.
For disability parking?
Yes.
Well, they always have a placard or they have a license plate or something
like
that.
They better.
They better. And you know, the sad part is, and I talk about this with our next guest, that sometimes it's not a visual disability.
Right. There's invisible disabilities that qualify for the placards as well.
That's right. Yeah. Some people, just the way they drive, deserve a placard. But anyway, Bill Bogdan is with Secretary of State Jesse White's office. He's going to be on with us next week, as a matter of fact.
Oh, he is? Jesse White is.
Jesse White.
Oh,
he's going to be retiring, but I think what he may do is have a career, because he threw out the first ball at Wrigley and then down in St. Louis, too.
Just strike him out?
Yeah, no.
Well, it's just the first
ball. I think he's going to go back to the farm club, you know?
Yeah, well, why not?
What
I mean,
the heck?
He is, what, 80?
Oh, well, longer than that, I think.
Really?
Yes, we don't talk about
that. He's so fabulous.
He has got more energy than a bag of beans, honest to God. Well, anyway, here's Bill Bogdan. You know, for a lot of folks in a parking lot, all these spaces, or at least hopefully all the spaces near the door, are close to being disabled or handicapped parking, whichever way you want to look at it. But a lot of times you'll see cars in there that may not have the proper credentials to be able to park in those spots. So we kind of thought we would review, not only for the general public, but also explain what the different placards are, so that if people with a disability need to apply for a placard, they can do that. Bill Bogdan works with Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White's office, and he's cordially invited to join us here this morning after spending a day over at Access Chicago. Bill, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here this morning to talk to you and your listeners about the parking program for persons with disabilities.
Yep. First of all, let's get started. How long has this been in existence, if you know offhand?
Well, the parking program began, I think, approximately in 1973. So it's been around for a long, long time. But it's one of those programs that, unfortunately, are widely abused by people who don't belong parking in those accessible parking spots.
You know, a lot of times at ballparks or in amusement parks, that sort of thing, or around shopping centers at the holiday time, people think they can get away with it, you know?
That's for sure, and it's Secretary of State Jesse White's goal is to reduce the fraud and the abuse of the parking program for persons with disabilities and to ensure that those that need the spaces have the spaces that they deserve. So our message is always loud and clear. If you don't belong there, please don't park here.
Yeah, you know what? That makes a lot of sense, too. What about the people that, if you happen to see somebody, now, you know, we get into a touchy area here, Bill, because there are certain people that have what they call hidden disabilities. And if sometimes you'll see a car pull into a parking place and the person doesn't look like they have anything wrong with them at all. So in an incident like that, should you report them? Should you just let it go? What's the situation?
Well, as you said, there are many, many very hidden disabilities that are out there, or invisible disabilities that are out there. Our office always recommends that you never confront anybody who you feel may be abusing the parking program for persons with disabilities. You know, number one, for your own safety, and then number two, you don't want to run into that situation where, you know, someone may have a disability, but you just can't see it. The best thing to do is, if you feel that someone is abusing the parking program for persons with disabilities, is to contact your local police department, or if you go to our Secretary of State website at CyberDriveIllinois.com, we actually have an abuse parking program for persons with disabilities, abuse complaint form that people can fill out and send to our office, and we will go ahead and follow up with that complaint. We can't go ahead and issue a ticket off of the complaint, but however, we will follow up with a letter sent to the person and inquire about the usage of the accessible parking spot. But number one, like I mentioned, if you do witness abuse and you feel someone is abusing those programs, is never to confront them, is to basically call your local police, call 911, report it, get the license plate number, or if you feel they're abusing a placard or a disability license plate, and give it to the person there and let the law enforcement officials handle it.
You mentioned fines. What kind of fines are we looking at?
Well, Secretary White's worked long and hard with the Illinois State Legislature to increase the fines and penalties significantly for those who abuse the program. And in Illinois, we primarily, even across the nation, there's primarily two major types of abuse. Number one is when people pull into that accessible parking spot and they don't have a state-issued parking placard or disability license plate or disability veteran plate. Those individuals, in my opinion, they're not fooling anybody. They're pulling in there for whatever reason, and they don't have the plate or placard. That's the easiest for law enforcement to issue a ticket to, and that carries a minimum statewide of a $250 fine.
Okay.
And local municipalities can adopt an ordinance or pass a resolution, and they can increase that fine up to a maximum of $350 for individuals parking in an accessible spot without a plate or placard. And then the second type of abuse that's very common is when friends, family members, or who have you, use a parking placard that actually belongs to an individual with a disability, and the person with a disability is not present. They're at home, or they're not in the vehicle when parking, so they're abusing the placard or a disability license plate. And that is a very significant penalty in Illinois. It carries a $600 fine for the first offense and a six-month driver's license suspension.
Whoa.
So Secretary White wanted to send that message loud and clear that this abuse should not be tolerated. And then to even get even further, we have a problem with individuals, unfortunately, using deceased persons' parking placards. And, you know, we have that stories that are out there that those parking placards have a tendency to live on long after the disabled individual passes away.
Yeah.
And to make sure that doesn't happen, that is a Class A misdemeanor, which can carry a maximum of a $2,500 fine and a one-year driver's license suspension if you're caught using a parking placard or a disability license plate that belongs to someone who is now deceased.
Wow. You got to put teeth in it sometimes for people to learn. So that,
well, you really do. And, you know, and it's been something that we've always took a very firm look at as to how can we best, reduce the fraud and the abuse, and that is to, you know, significantly penalize those who are abusing the program.
Bill, does the placard that I get issued in Illinois, would that be good in any other state too?
Yes, we have reciprocal agreements, so our placards are valid in basically every state and other foreign jurisdictions. But the most important thing to do is to, if someone is traveling to a different state, you know, many states have different rules and regulations, so you always want to try to best follow up with that. Back in 2014, Illinois' parking program had changed, where we'll honor out-of-state placards in Illinois, but they're no longer valid for the meter-exempt parking.
Mm-hmm.
So they would only be valid if they're parked on-street accessible spots. There's no charge for an out-of-state placard for that. But if they pull up carte blanche to a meter, then they're subject to pay that meter fee.
Just like anybody else would.
Correct.
Yep. Now, you talked about the meter exempt and that sort of thing. What are the, because there's quite a few different placards out there now, correct?
That's correct. Back in 2014, the Illinois General Assembly passed a new law and so forth that actually created a tiered system for permanent disability placards in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have two different types of permanent disability placards, and one is a yellow meter-exempt, yellow and gray striped meter-exempt parking placard. And that one, if you will, is a placard that's issued to people who have a valid Illinois driver's license or are under the age of 18 and incapable of driving that meet a more stringent requirement where their disability significantly impairs them from feeding a parking meter.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, if you're not eligible for the meter exempt placard, then you would get our standard blue parking placard, which would allow you to park at any accessible parking space at a mall or a grocery store, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and any on-street accessible parking space as well. But if you park at a parking meter, you're subject to pay that parking meter if you have the blue permanent disability parking placard.
Okay.
So as of 2014, only the yellow and gray striped parking placard grants you the meter exempt parking.
Let me ask you a question. Let me interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
Let's say somebody gets a disability plate with the wheelchair symbol on it.
Sure.
How do you go about checking to make sure that they need that special privilege of being able to not feed the meter?
Well, primarily, if you have a disability license plate, those plates, and along with our disability veteran plates, do not qualify the authorized holder for meter exemption. You have to have the yellow and gray striped parking placard. So even if your listeners have a disabled license plate, they must also, in addition, hang that yellow and gray striped parking placard in order to be meter exempt.
I got you.
And in order to get any of our parking placards or disability license plates, we have an application that is required, and you could obtain the application again on our website at cyberdriveillinois.com. And then the individual with a disability must go to their physician, and the physician must certify them that they meet the eligibility requirements for the parking program. In addition to that, the physician will go ahead and mark the appropriate parking placard that the individual qualifies for.
Right.
And back in 2014, to try to help physicians get a better understanding of the program, Secretary White sent out over 68,000 letters to physicians all across the state of Illinois, asking them to step up to the plate, do their part, and ensure that their patients meet the eligibility requirements before approving them for a plate or placard.
Sure.
We also partnered with Rush University Medical Center, their ADA task force, and created a brochure called the Medical Professional's Guide to the Parking Program for Persons with Disabilities. And this was actually written for physicians by physicians, so physicians really get a better understanding of the eligibility criteria and to ensure that they're approving their patients for the appropriate parking placard.
Sure, sure. There's a couple other ones, too. Isn't there a red and a green one, too?
We also issue a red parking placard, and that is for our temporary disabilities. This may be for someone who, their disability is not diagnosed to last longer than a six-month period of time. So somebody who unfortunately may have broken their ankle or, may have had some minor knee surgery or what have you, and they need a placard for a short period of time, not longer than 6 months. That placard does not grant the meter exemption, but it would allow the individual to park in an accessible parking space. And then lastly, we have a green parking placard. We don't issue too many of these, but primarily it's about maybe 6,000 statewide, but they go out to non-for-profit organizations that transport people with disabilities free of charge. So like maybe the Chicago Lighthouse may have these parking placards if they have vehicles and they transport people with disabilities. Those organizations can apply for that placard as well.
Well, I think that kind of describes it real well. So where is it available on the website, so you can download the application, then take it into your physician, get it all filled out? Is there a charge for the placard?
No, the placards are issued free of charge. The standard, if you're requiring or looking for disability license plates, the standard fee for the disability license plates applies for your plates. We also have disabled license plates are available in vanity and personalized plates. So people go to our website. You can also go to pickaplate.com or at cyberdriveillinois.com
mm-hmm.
and pick a plate. And you can actually see if one of those fancy sayings or a combination of letters and numbers are available if you want personalized or vanity plates.
Sure.
So that's available as well. And then the standard fees are applied to the disability license plates.
Well, you know what? You provided a lot of information. I think you cleared up quite a bit of questions that people may have had about the program as well. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. Now go take a couple of aspirins and you can recover from the Access Chicago.
Well, thanks, Bill. And in closing, the one thing that I really want to say is for all the people out there that qualify or are eligible for the parking program for persons with disabilities, it's your responsibility to make sure those placards are used accordingly. You're our first line of defense, if you will, out there. And please don't allow your friends or family members to use your parking placards or disability license plates if you're not in the vehicle. Save those spots open for those who truly need them. And it's been a pleasure talking to you this morning.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. That's Bill Bogdan. He works with the Illinois Secretary of State's office and knows everything. Well, I would say everything that he needs to know about the placards and the disability license plates. I'm Bill Jurek. We'll be back with more after this.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
Now it's the highlight of the program.
Yeah.
She spent 4.5 hours in makeup.
I did.
Before we got on the air here.
Could have spent another 2 or 3.
Yeah, well, you know, it's, thank God it's radio.
Exactly.
But she has got her very special segment, and it's called...
Let Us Turn Up the Beat.
And Lainey is here to give us some fall cooking ideas.
Yes, I am actually doing... I don't know if I've done breakfast yet. I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
I've ever done breakfast.
No, I don't think you did.
How is that possible? Well, I discovered this recipe online through the Connoisseur Vegan and have been making... I know. I didn't make up the name.
I know,
I'm just giving credit where credit is due.
I know. That's fine.
I've been making this for my kids, and it's actually delicious. It's a great waffle shortcut.
Wow. Ooh,
yes.
I love waffles.
It is fantastic. And so if you love waffles, but you don't like necessarily want to make them from scratch, this is the way to go about it. So what you want to do is you need...
Let go of my Eggo.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
These are way better, though. Although Legos are super good, so I don't want to minimize the power of the Lego.
Lego, yeah. The Aunt Jemima ones aren't bad either.
I know. It's all so good. So these are vegan French toast waffles. So what you're actually going to want to do is get bread, you know, get a slice of bread like you're going to make French toast. Okay. And whatever bread you prefer, I like, you know, the thicker, crustier bread because that makes it delicious, you know, everything. And then you're going to make your batter. So the batter consists of essentially a cup of non-dairy milk, which I always prefer. You can always, of course, substitute dairy if that's your preference. And then this recipe actually calls for coconut milk. I've never used coconut milk, and it's always turned out delicious. So, coconut milk is quite high in fat and saturated fat and calories, and I think it's a great substitute for a lot of things.
Sure.
But, you know, if you don't want that extra caloric
in the morning
density, then just eliminate it. It's fine. Then you're going to use a teaspoon of vanilla, a tablespoon of cornstarch, and a tablespoon of flour. And then whatever spices you want. I like to add, you know, like a cinnamon or a nutmeg or something along those lines. Absolutely. And if you want to fall it up even more, you know, add a couple tablespoons of pumpkin puree in there. And that will give you that nice fall pumpkin flavor to it.
Yeah.
And then plus the hot maple syrup on top of it. Oh, to die for. So you're going to mix up that batter. It's going to thicken a little because it's got the flour and the cornstarch in it. So you're going to take your piece of bread, you're going to dip it in the batter, make sure it's totally saturated, and then you're going to put the bread in the waffle iron, and you're going to make it. You know, you're going to close that waffle iron like you're making a waffle.
Right.
And the cornstarch and the flour combined make this delicious, crisp outer shell on the bread, and then the inside is like melty and just so delicious.
It's a great Saturday or Sunday breakfast.
It's perfect. It's perfect. And then you get your hot maple syrup with that. You know, I mean, again, with the fall, you can, you know, nutmeg and cinnamon and spices and, you know, all the fall flavors that go with it, make it your own. You get the melted butter and the hot maple syrup. And, you know, if you want to do a little whipped cream with cinnamon sprinkle on top of that, whatever, go crazy.
Yeah, have fun with it.
Absolutely. So that is our fall morning breakfast, our vegan French toast waffles.
And of course, they can find it at
Facebook or Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at Lighthouse Beacon and or Twitter at Lighthouse Beacon as well. I also just started an Instagram account for me personally, but I might, let me think about this. I might, and that way I can just do a full page of just my recipes on Instagram, and not my recipes, the recipes that I collect from online sources.
Free.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what we do anyway, but Instagram, it's just, it would just be the recipe, so you wouldn't have to filter through all the other stuff.
The
it would just
stuff.
All be right there with pictures and all that good stuff. So let me think about that. I'm going to think on that.
All right, sounds good. And that is our Let Us Turn Up the Beat segment for this week. Stick around, brief message, and we're going to head into Tom's Corner.
Every day, PACE is helping more and more people with disabilities take control of their day.
My friends change plans a lot, which was tough because my rides had to be booked a day before. One day, I figured out how easy it was to put my wheelchair onto regular PACE buses. Since then, I haven't missed out on any pickup games. Yesterday, I had 10 rebounds.
Freedom means being able to go wherever I want, when I want. Before, things like missing an ingredient for a recipe or other unexpected errands were a real pain to figure out. Once I learned my service dog Nola was welcome aboard PACE Fix routes, we've been riding ever since.
Hi, I'm Bridget Brown. If you're anything like me, it drives you nuts when you feel like you're missing out on things. Now I make plans in the middle of the day without even thinking twice about it, thanks to the PACE Bus.
When you're ready to take control of your day, visit PACEBus.com or call 847-364-PACE. PACE. Connecting communities.
Can't believe we're at the end of the show already.
I can't believe we're in mid-September already.
Me neither, to be honest with you.
We're not even in fall yet, so I can't say we're halfway through fall, which was...
This week.
This week we'll be in fall.
Oh, yeah, September 20th or 21st.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know, but September's halfway over.
You got to get your rake out.
I know. My birthday's coming up. I'm going to be in my 40s officially. I can't even handle it. I really can't.
That's all right.
It'll be okay, right?
Trust me, it doesn't get any better.
It isn't the last thing I needed to hear at just this moment in time.
Just like these two guys, they don't get any better than they are.
This is their peak right here. It's as good as it's getting, folks.
Our own Brian Hawkins will corral Mr. Tom Persky as we head down the street for Tom's Corner.
Everyone, it's Tom's Corner, and today we're going to talk about the most popular technology that is available in the Tools for Living store, and Tom Persky is here in order to do that. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm Brian. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm fine, as always. Yeah. It's football season, so what could be worse?
Right. We are definitely feeling a little cool air, which is nice.
It's not just the air conditioning, folks.
Exactly. So, yeah, we've been talking a lot recently about all the different devices that are out there to help with people with low vision.
Mm-hmm.
And people think about magnification lenses and magnifying glasses. And I was talking to a group of professionals the other day at Aetna Healthcare, and they invited me to come and speak about things that are out there to help people as they meet with their customers and their members, they call it. And they were blown away. They had no idea. They say, how do people find out about things that would help older people, help our clients who are struggling? And so one of the most popular things that has been coming about in the last year or two has been these small portable camera, we call them handheld video magnifiers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just amazed that a video magnifier could, with a little camera system and a small screen, enlarge something like anywhere from 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 15 times the normal size. So somebody who's considered legally blind could actually see a price tag, read the fine print on the back of a food container, or even more important, their medication bottles and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they were, each of these managed care workers see about 200 elderly people on their caseload at one time. And so they said, we're running into problems all the time. And of course, we know that about one out of six with over 65 is getting macular degeneration. Is one of the number one causes. So they were thrilled to hear about it. So I thought I would just talk about a few minutes about these video magnifiers and what they're like. So
okay.
We kind of put them in the small, medium, and large categories. So small would be for people who want something pocket-sized. So if you can imagine just a little screen that's about 3.5 inches wide, that would fit on this little device that you plug in the wall. You charge it at night like a little cell phone. So it actually kind of looks like a little iPhone or cell phone. It's a little bit smaller than that.
Okay.
But it enlarges, like I said, from one time to 15 times. We have one that was very popular called the Butterfly. And the reason for that is it has a little stand, like looks like butterfly wings. So if you're sitting at the kitchen table, you just set it down right on your paper. And it's tilt, automatically tilts, and allows you to do that. But you can change the contrast to white and black or other colors, too, as well as making it large. So that helps a lot of people. People with diabetic retinopathy, people with glaucoma. So it really does help people with many different types of eye conditions. For instance, that little butterfly is $295. So certainly it is a more... a price than a $60 magnifier, but it does so much more that people really like it. And so what we're finding is this new category of these portables are taking the place for some people of the large old video reading machines that are big and heavy and kind of clunky, where the society tends to be a lot more mobile nowadays.
Right.
People want to go to the restaurant, they want to go shopping and take the device with them. So that's kind of the small category. The next category would be, you know, kind of the medium-sized screen, usually about a 5-inch screen. We have a device called the Explore 5, and it's really taken off. It's made by Humanware Corporation, and it has some neat features. Also a tilt stand that pulls out of the back. Also, it pulls a handle pulls all the way out. It allows somebody to read in this device from one time to 22 times the normal size. So even people with very profound or severe macular degeneration or diabetic retinopathy can read fine print with this device.
Okay.
And it just feels good in your hand, and it allows you to either glide over the paper, or you can hold it up again for shopping, hold it up to a thermostat on the wall. You want to see something on a bulletin board. So it really is flexible and mobile for those who are out. I talked to a woman yesterday. She was saying, you know, my mom doesn't go out anymore. She doesn't really travel around or do shopping. But she really wants to sit at the kitchen table and read a newspaper and read the mail. And that's kind of a typical client that we see here often, many people over the age of 80 who are just now experiencing vision loss. And so I was telling her about the Explore 7, which is kind of in the larger category. It kind of, when you look at it, it looks kind of like an iPad, where it's a 7-inch screen. Not quite as big as a regular iPad, but it does sort of remind you of a tablet. And it has a tilt stand that can be placed right on your kitchen table. And because the screen is so large, you could usually, for some people, get a whole column of print on the screen at one time. And what's been really great for people is they really feel that it's not too big, it's not overwhelming. She said, my mom lives in a very small retirement place with one bedroom and not much room for a big reading machine.
Right.
And so these devices are certainly becoming more popular and taking the place of some of the old video magnifiers that we've been so used to hearing about for so many years. But I was surprised the Aetna group also did not know about some of the other reading machines, the things that read out loud, things we talk about on this show all the time, where you have the Orcam that reads out loud. We showed them that.
Mm-hmm.
The New Eyes, they were blown away by the New Eyes, which allows you to walk around with a Android tablet on your head, I guess you could say, making things 10 times larger than normal. So I was showing them on an eye chart, if somebody had a 300 size letter, so imagine the big E, just a little bit smaller than the big E.
Right.
And we have a lot of patients here at Low Vision who cannot see that big E 10 feet away, let alone 20 feet away. Or some people that can't even see it, only 5 feet away is the limit to how far they can see. So somebody like that, a 300 size letter at 5 feet away, could still benefit from some of these devices because you can get it 10 times bigger. So you take that 300, divide by 10, you got 30. So now at 5 feet, they could see the 30 size letter, or what would be the size letter that somebody who had 20/30 vision. 5 feet away is pretty good. And also reading or looking in the distance. So all this new technology is really booming. Of course, that one is $5,995. But this gives you the idea of just a little bit of all the technology that's out there,
right?
You know, to help people nowadays. And so
now, is that eligible for the bank loan program that we've talked about before?
The technology... The portable handhelds is right now we are taking some applications. We have some funding for those that would help pay for some of or part of one of these devices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's a good thing. For those who are interested in spending over $1,000, we work with a private bank, which is in Worth, Illinois. We have applications that would help with funding to make monthly payments for that. And that's a really nice program. People often ask me about that. I tell them, if you live in an area or suburb where you have a local Lions Club,
mm-hmm.
if you're in need of technology like that, write them a personal letter. Tell them your story and tell them the device that might help you the most. And I've seen many Lions Clubs buy machines for people, which is really another interesting way to, you know, to get the help you need. Yeah, the Lions are doing great. So a couple new things in the store, our Tools for Living store. Go to lighthousetoolsforliving.com, and you can see lots of these products also that I just mentioned. We have some new lamps. Many people have heard of the Otlight, and the Otlight is a table light or desk light. We have a new one that's battery-driven also, so it's kind of nice and convenient. So if you have to move it into the kitchen when you're slicing vegetables or you want to move from place to place when you're signing your checks, the new Outlight that we have does that, and with a battery option. So that's really nice. And you can plug it in and then mm-hmm. charge it up and move it from place to place. I believe that's $49.95. It's really a good price. We're also going to be displaying in our Tools for a Living store some of the new Luxo products, very high quality reading lamps and floor lamps for those who are interested in getting more light in their environment, which really helps a lot of people with vision loss. One of the things that people don't often think about is investing in a good light, but it really does help lots and lots of people.
Okay.
Yep. So...
And you are on the road again.
We are on the road. Coming up this Thursday, we're going to be in Chicago Lighthouse North is our Glenview location, 222 Waukegan Road. And this is what we call our Low Vision Product Show from 10 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. And sponsored by the Lions Clubs of Illinois also, as we mentioned. And we bring lots and lots of products. And four of our staff can sit and talk with you. You can come in an open house environment and learn and try out some of these products. Just go from table to table. We have literally about 12 tables filled with lots of products. October, we've got October 5th. We're going to be at the Schaumburg Township a location which is called One Illinois Boulevard in Hoffman Estates. And that's a great location, again, from 10 to 3. So that's coming up the first part of October, October 5th. And then we're going to be doing a show October 13th back in the south suburbs again, Palos Hills Community Center, again from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So we look forward to meeting you and having you. If you haven't been to one of the shows, please come. If you haven't been to our Glenview location, you got to come
right
to that, because it's really cool to
Yeah, it's a really nice place.
It. Yeah.
And you can get actual contact with a lot of the products that we talk about here on the show.
Right. Yep.
He's Tom Persky. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
Today, the unemployment rate for veterans is at an all-time high, and these brave men and women need our help. To meet this challenge, Paralyzed Veterans of America created Operation PAVE, an employment assistance program for any veteran at the Hines VA in Chicago. These services are provided free of charge. Hiring more veterans is great for business and great for our nation. To learn more, visit OperationPAVE.org. That's OperationPAVE.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I'm still thinking about those waffles.
Oh, baby, you got to try them.
Oh,
tell Stacy to make some for you, because they really, and I haven't done the pumpkin puree yet, but I'm thinking this weekend that might be necessary.
Something
you'll do? Yeah, because okay. That actually sounds delicious.
All right. Well, thanks to Dr. Janet Slick, our chief executive officer at the Lighthouse, for believing in our program as we head into our eighth year.
You know, they have a picture of all the board of directors up on the wall.
Do
and
they?
She's like the one, I don't know, there's eight or nine just, you know, men. And
yeah.
Then there's cute little Janet, who I swear looks to be 23 in that picture. I mean, she's just so...
Well, you know, those guys on the board.
Don't say anything about the guys on the board.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's right.
We're on the radio, Fred.
They've been there forever.
But Janet looks lovely. I'm just going to put
that
out there. Yes,
she does.
She looks absolutely lovely.
And Sandra Barillo's our associate producer. Intern on the program is Brad Shishkoff. And, of course, Mr. Brian Hawkins did that voodoo that he does so well, not only in the corner, but also with all the technical help as well. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. You can catch us on ACB Radio, also Chris Radio, and you can listen to us online as well. We're all over.
You can't get rid of us.
No.
We will find you.
Right.
We will chase you and find you.
Like the stuff behind the elephants in the circus. And speaking of that.
What?
Oh, here they come. The Mighty House guys are coming in here. So we'll turn things over to them, and we'll see you back here next Saturday. You know, facts matter, and you've come to the right station, Chicago's Progressive Talk, WCPT. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And we'll see you back here on AM 820 next week.